All right. Welcome everyone to another podcast session here at High Level. We call it the highlight, the High Level Spotlight Sessions. And I've got a special couple here that are part of the High Level community. And I felt the need to showcase both of them. I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of visionary versus the integrator. And that's really what I see with this whole business. First things first, let's do a quick intro. Herwin and Oana, help us understand who you are, where you're from, and how you got together. Take about 2-3 minutes and help us understand your journey so far as an intro real quick.
Our story in a quick nutshell, we met dancing. Juan and I met dancing. We used to own a dance studio together before that we met dancing. We wanted to share our passion of dancing with others. I sort of convinced Juana to quit her corporate job to join me on doing this dance studio thing. And so, anyway, and then to keep it short and how we got here into our marketing agency that we have now, we used to own a dance studio. We figured like the High Level, we discovered it thanks to, so we were a part of this mastermind program. We were trying to grow our dance studio, and we were part, like, we had this coaches, they were using High Level back when it was in beta. And so then they're like, it was almost like a secret. So they told us like, hey, you know, like, you're trying to figure out how to run your, like, how to make your follow-up work or your business, you should check out this tool. Anyway, we implemented, to cut that story short, we implemented the High Level within like a couple of months of us implementing that into our business. We literally doubled our revenue in like 3 months. Like, yeah. And it was like, oh my God, like, this is insane. Like, it's almost like one of those moments where you feel like you stumbled upon something here that, like, it's like a kind of like what I would imagine Jeff Bezos saw when he saw that chart, when he's like, the internet is growing at this speed, like there's something here. Same thing for us, like, without any additional effort on our part, because we were capturing now the leads that were kind of falling through the cracks because of the technology that had High Level provided, doubled our studio revenue. Anyway, we didn't think of, like, we were just excited. Our studio was growing really fast. And then COVID obviously hit. At some point also, I mean, some things inside our business, inside our dance studio, like a pipe underneath our studio broke at the same time COVID hit. Our studio, it all went, like, it was all chaotic for a while. And then Juan and I, we had joined a bunch of different mastermind programs. We were like, man, we would love to do something online. And we had this idea. I mean, we tried a couple of different things, but we had this idea of like what we did for us with this tool, with High Level, that worked really well. We need to help other studio owners do the same. And so that's kind of how we met all the way up until like the inception of the idea of like, we should do something with High Level.
Awesome. I want to help me understand your side of the story, because you got this guy convincing you to quit your corporate, I'm sure a great job, and do this online thing from home. Like, help us understand that right before COVID. That's got to be stressful and crazy.
I think he didn't have to do so much convincing, actually. I was tapped out already. I was looking for something else. I had been in the corporate world for almost 9 years, I think. And I was ready to get out. And I was looking for a reason to get out. And his vision was the reason why I said, I feel comfortable letting this go and starting this together with you.
Awesome.
So as a great visionary, he was great at convincing and selling the idea. And it worked, because here we are.
Absolutely. So those of you that are watching this podcast, one of the big common things that we see in most business launches is the idea of having a visionary behind the business and an integrator behind the business. Like, and I'm a visionary, actually, and every business I've ever built, I always had a business partner of some kind that was the integrator person. And I knew that early in my journey. I knew I needed to have that person behind me to be successful. So, Herwin, like, how did you figure this out? And I know you said this was kind of like accidental finding in how you operated and figured out different strengths. Help us understand the launch itself in kind of putting together your own, essentially an online business, just in the beginning. Help us understand that first chapter.
Sure. And by the way, just want to comment on the fact that you knew early on that you somehow needed a partner, that this integrator operator side of things. So that didn't come natural to us, you know. So at the beginning, so the way it worked early on is like, you know, we close our studio, we decide to go for an online business. I wish it was just like, and then we launched and then we were successful. We were like, you know, for 9 months, we couldn't pay our rent. We were trying different things. We tried selling like a Latin dance course online and things like that. Her parents had to help us out, like giving us a place to live because we couldn't. So it was rough. And so anyway, not to make it like super dramatic, but really like it was super uncertain in the beginning. And back when we closed our studio, we also, like, all of the money we had, we gave in refunds to all of our previous students. So we didn't have anything. And so back then, we were like, okay, you know, we tried doing this course thing. We tried different things. I tried some affiliate marketing. And anyway, eventually it's like what worked is the fact that we had this dance studio thing. So we started asking all of our friends who were dance studio owners about like, hey, can we help you with your follow-up? And so then, can we help you with your follow-up? And can we help you bring you more students? That's really what it was. It wasn't even about the follow-up. It was just like, hey, we figured this out for how to bring more students to our studio. Let us help you with this. We did this with about like 10 dance studio owners that we knew. None of them took us up on it. Like, anyway, I made a couple of different posts. So I went to all the dance studio owner groups and I literally spammed in those groups, like who needs help with their marketing and who needs to, I didn't know what I was doing. I just like randomly, who needs help with Facebook ads and automation? We had one studio owner that we met there. She's like, hey, you know, right now I'm advertising, but I'll jump on a call with you. So I'm jumping on a call with her. And, you know, this studio owner, she was super successful. And I'm asking her what kind of results she's getting and what she's doing. She's like, oh, I'm advertising. And I'm like, fantastic. How are you following up with your leads? And she's like, I carry around a stack of index cards with me everywhere with every single lead. And I was like, look, let me help you. I'm going to build these automations for you. And it's going to do all of that for you. Anyway, she's like, and you're going to work with me for free until when? And she was super skeptical. Anyway, we eventually ended up working with this lady. We built our automations. We told her, look, we'll work for you for free if it works for you, then just refer us people.
In terms of knowing our responsibilities in the beginning, I mean, obviously, Herman was a visionary. You could see that he was the one who had the idea and so on. And I was essentially just there to help out with whatever was needed. Administrative work, accounting, whatever there was that I needed to cash, that's what I would do. And it was difficult in the beginning because it's not something that I enjoyed doing. Obviously, I was just very happy that we're able to build this vision together and I can support him, which is right, very natural to the integrator role. We are there to just support and catch and push forward and help. But realistically speaking, it wasn't something that I loved at that time because I had to come from a pretty big position in corporate and I found myself doing administrative work. So I had a bit of a identity crisis to say the least.
And what's crazy is for folks that are watching this, like both y'all came from the experience of running your own business, like your own dance studio, right? And dance business. And you didn't come from the background of marketing professionals or sales professionals or automation specialists. You were essentially just running your own small business and realized what's working when it comes to automations and marketing, and decided to go to fellow businesses like yourself and say, hey, I'll work for free. Let me kind of build this with you, with the intention that I'm going to create a agency or a SaaS agency type of business in the future. And, you know, it's crazy to think that y'all are award winners now. That's going to be on stage on High Level. And that didn't just happen overnight, right? So what I would love to do is help the audience understand what are the different responsibilities as a visionary versus the integrator. Like, what are the differences? How did you kind of bifurcate the two roles across the board?
Sure. And just to kind of like touch on Juana's story a second, because that question, it wasn't obvious. Like, it wasn't like at the beginning. We came in, this is why I made that note of at the beginning when you first were like, you know, when I had my businesses, I knew that I needed somebody there to be kind of the integrated role. We didn't. So when we were trying to grow our dance studio, we were a part of these mastermind programs, trying to learn how to like market and do all these things. And so in there, these are groups that are heavily focused on the entrepreneur, right? And it's all about like, oh, the entrepreneur can make anything happen, and they have all of these ideas, and they can sell, and they can market, and like all of these things. And so like, we are looking at that, and we're like, oh, that's what's cool, that's what we need to be. And so like, and it's a personality thing, because like, we're both aiming to be this entrepreneur, but reality is like, I'm right now the one that's coming up with the ideas. One is really like, she's helping me as we're doing, but it's not like she is like thinking about the strategy and coming up with it. And so like at the beginning, she's kind of feeling like not just like a secondary role, but she's actually feeling like bad about her role. Cause she's like, I used to be this person when I in corporate, and I was like, and I had this, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Juana, if you want to. So she was feeling totally bad. At the beginning, she's like, a VA could do my job. I'm not really contributing that much value to the business. When she said, when she's saying that she went through an identity crisis, it meant like with her, she.
Yeah, yeah. Help us understand that one. And like, how, what was that like mentally in general?
It was rough for a good year and a half. It was a long process to get out of that. Not that it was a big deal, but I was essentially, so I was a forensic investigator for a Fortune 500, and it was essentially in a leadership role in a way, if you want to think about it that way, because I was running my own cases, I was running my own investigations, I would report to the committee and so on. So it was something that was very self-led. And now I'm in a position where I have to follow, and I can't lead, and I don't know how to lead because I am not the one having the vision. So it was really rough for a while until I had to just only, go ahead.
Not only were you like following, but you were also doing like the menial work. Like she was doing like, you know, a client, like setting up some billing, or like, it's not like the type of work that she was doing wasn't, she didn't find fulfillment in it. She didn't find like, she was just like, I left this big position to now come into this place where I'm literally like a nobody. And like, and our client, not only that, but then like our clients are all like, go Hervin, and like Juana is like, you know, like.
And yeah, I mean, that was definitely a big part of it. And then it was, yeah, it was go Hervin. And I was catching all the balls in the background. Nobody could see that, right? Because you're second in command. You're not on the stage, you're backstage. So it was a difficult time for me until I had to just rewrite essentially what I was feeling and thinking, where I'm like, I'm coming here in this business to help him, to support, and really do whatever's needed for us to grow, because we have the same goal. We're on the same team.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, it was lack of experience too. So like, So at the beginning, we didn't know that this even secondary role existed. I remember when Juana read this book, is Traction, I think is the one that you read, and they talk about like the visionary versus the integrator. And she's like, oh, there's a secondary role here that is super important. And as she was telling me this, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But like, yeah, it was all eye opening to us. Like, we didn't know that this existed. And so, and then at the beginning, it was kind of like, when we have very little clients, there wasn't much to do. But as we started to scale, it wasn't like in one moment we decided like, you do this and you're responsible for this. And now I'm the visionary and you're the integrator. It was more like our team started to scale. We needed help with like, now we need to meet with the team and we now need to like figure out how do we do compensation and how do we like make sure. So almost like,
yeah.
The two sides, like the business of running a business, nothing came natural to me when it comes to that. Like to Juana, everything was like, oh yeah, this is like how we need to treat our employees and how I need to think about the business. And like that all came natural to her.
Yeah. So the first thing that I observe in this whole thing is, Urban, you have the courage to just jump in and take the action, right? So that's the entrepreneurial spirit that just kicks in and says, okay, I'm gonna live or die by this cliff jump, and I'm gonna just jump, right? That's what we in a sense all do in the beginning. Then you realize the business is maturing and you need help running the business. And what is the second thing that happened? Like, how did you get to a point where you had a ton of clients? How did you get to a point where you're like, you know what, it's time for us to start expanding the team? Like, help us understand the second chapter of this whole business.
Sure. And I wish it was like so like delineated, like where it was like, and now we are.
Thank you.
It's honestly been like a struggle the whole entire way. Yeah,
y'all did everything the hard way. That's what I'm saying. You did everything the hard way, but you did it. And it's important, I think, to share the stories of the hardships, right? And that's why it made sense for me to do a podcast session with you all, because what you've done is not in a book. It's not part of an SOP. You're not going to learn it in a mastermind, and no coach can help you. Right? It's all self-navigation.
Yeah. I mean, look, yes, it is. We've been a part of those masterminds and we've definitely gotten a lot out of them. Like we've definitely had our tons of coaches. And I think that's just a takeaway on it, like by itself. It's like we've learned from people who've done it, and like this is why this community is so important. It's because like you can look up to people and you can see like who's doing it and kind of try and model it, and that's super important. I also think like part of it too is, so as we were going through this business, it was kind of like the lessons came as we were going. So like, for example, we needed an employee. And so when we needed an employee, we were like, okay, how are we going to hire an employee? And then it was like, oh, we need to have some processes. Awesome. How are we going to put this processes together? And so then once we had a couple of employees, then it was like, it seems we need to somehow all be on the same page. And then like, and I don't know how to, for example, as a visionary, like, because I see things a little bit like I'm seeing the opportunity. That's what I'm doing. Like I'm seeing of what we're able to do, being able to communicate that to a team and getting the team on board and like explaining to them what we're doing and all of that. Like, that was something that came more natural to Juana. So a lot of times, like I wouldn't be as patient with employees or think about like, you know what I mean? And so, the other thing that was super helpful, we joined this, and I know He's going to be speaking here at the High Level event. We joined this program with Alex Sharfin, and he kind of helped us really differentiate like what the two roles are between the visionary and the operator. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like in one moment we decided like, okay, you're this way and I'm that way and I'm responsible for this. It did end up like now I feel like, so now we're at a point where Juana, her groove is like, she's meeting with a team. So she'll do one-on-ones with a team. She enjoys like getting to see people grow in their role, take on to more responsibility. She enjoys figuring out ways to support our employees and that kind of stuff. It's not that I don't like to do it. It just doesn't come natural to me.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. So I know you're navigating on your own in the sense to kind of understand all the parameters of the integrator, almost like the mom figure of the business. We call it the difference of CEO versus a COO. CEO has a bunch of ideas and those are forever nonstop. And the COO is the person that has to execute all these ideas, if it makes sense, right? And the CFO is like the balance that keeps everything in place that says it's worth us chasing a certain project, right? But either way, I want to help us understand how you start building the team and putting that together and like the culture behind the integrator person.
So building that team started with need, obviously.
And how many clients were you at before you hired your first person? So let's start there.
So where we were at when we hired, before we hired the first person,
like 60, 70.
Yeah. I think it was like at 60 clients where we hired our first person, which is quite a bit into it.
you're doing customer onboarding, scheduling, you're doing success, you're doing tickets. You're also fulfilling, fixing all the bugs, handling all the billing. You've got a lot on your plate. Yep.
Well, it was that was whatever you explained right now. It was obviously a shared thing between Irvin and I. He actually, Irvin is very talented at the client support and client experience. So that's something that he had on his plate. But I mean, the first employee that we had was it a client success, Irvin?
I would call it like we even gave her a title of a tech wizard. She really was helping onboarding. She was helping onboard the clients, setting up all of their tech. That's kind of what she was doing. But that's the beginning.
And
I wanted to say that we didn't know even what we needed to hire for. Like we didn't have a process. We didn't have a plan. It was just based on feel in the beginning of feeling, oh, maybe this area could be supported or I could take this off my plate and delegate this piece to somebody. But I don't remember really knowing what we were doing, to be honest with you.
And to that point, I know Irvin said this in the beginning of our conversation, everything was based on the customer experience, right? Yeah. Like your whole business. If the customer, if you feel like the customer is not having fun or they're not enjoying this whole experience, then you're looking at ways to fulfill that gap. Was that along the lines of what you're thinking about, Irvin?
Yeah, I mean, what I was gonna say is that. So yeah, I mean, number one, based on kind of like the fact that we did do all of these mastermind programs, it was like the guru of this would just say like, just focus on selling real hard and everything would take care of itself, which is not to take anything away from that, obviously
theory, like, is right, but you got to take that money and implement it in the right places.
Yeah, exactly. And I did not have like your foresight that you needed somebody that can, you know, I didn't have that. And so like a lot of, because the niche that we serve, we've been lucky in the sense that our niche is very like a close-knit community. And so like when one person gets really good results, they tell all of their friends and it's easy for the word of mouth to spread. So we haven't had to really like dive so hard into like the marketing and selling side of things. It's kind of like right now on the back burner for us. Really what we've been focused on is how do we make sure that we give our clients the best experience possible? High level, by the way, just does a super, every day I'm like, oh my God, like this tool exists and this is amazing how we can just plug this into their business. But we really focus on how do we provide the best experience for our clients. Also noticing too, like High Level as a platform is also growing like exponentially, which is amazing. Obviously, like for a reason, it's an amazing tool. Now for us, looking at the future and thinking like, how are we going to differentiate ourselves as a business when there are so many, like when High Level is growing so quickly and everybody's finding about it? And like, and even our clients now are like, you know, hey, are you using High Level and all this stuff? And it's like, we need to make sure that the value that we're adding to our service is more than just, because the other thing too is like, a lot of people think that it's just like that. A lot of people that I have spoken to, they're like, oh, I'm just going to just like put a chat widget and like, I'm going to have recurring passive income forever. And like, I mean, and cool. Yeah. Some people are able to do it and it's great. Like for me personally, I also feel like I have almost like a moral responsibility to provide the best results for our clients, and they're sort of trusting us to help them. And so we've really like heavily focused on making sure that our clients get really good results. But so with that comes building a team to make sure that we're not doing all the things that you just described. And so one of the things that I would take away if I were to do this early on is like gaining clarity around how to hire has been something extremely, like that's pretty much been our focus for the past year, is just learning how to hire. That's something that I don't know many people talking like that talk about this and like really dive into. For example, when you own a SaaS company, but you just think like, I just plug in this thing and I'm never going to hear from clients ever again. And like life is going to be good. And like, and then you realize like we're more than 200 clients deep into this. And like, to be completely transparent, like I'm doing support 3-4 hours a day. And I'm like, man, like, how do you solve this problem? And part of it has been like learning how to set up processes in place for whether it's solving tickets or whether, and also learning how to hire and learning how to even think about hiring. Like for me, for example, for us, one and I, we're like, okay, what do we need help with? And then it's like, okay, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, I'm talking to the client. So I'm doing support, I'm doing onboarding, and I'm also helping them with the tech. And it's like, cool, we need somebody who does all of those things. And that's like, like that person doesn't exist. Otherwise they exist, but they own their own business. So, and so like learning how to hire for us has been extremely, extremely important. And anything that you can say on that, like on the journey that we've gone through hiring.
We've made a lot of mistakes. We've hired some wrong people because we were not clear enough on what we needed. And in the moment, we didn't realize that we didn't have clarity. We thought it was clear. So we've made some bad decisions, which obviously investing time in an employee that's not going to work out is not the best scenario. But everything has been a learning process. And to be really honest, you know, Hervin was mentioning Alex Sharfin's program that we're still part of. I mean, he has made such a huge difference in our business and the way we've structured it and the way we started thinking about the business, about our employees, about hiring, getting clarity around the roles, doing these amazing 2-week time studies where you have to put down every 15 minutes what you're doing. That's something that sounds terrible when you're doing it, but it's been such an eye opener in terms of gaining clarity on who you need in your business and what you can delegate, right? And who you need to hire to delegate those things.
That has been a I don't know if that came easily to you, Paulson, but the delegation for me, that has been a huge learning curve for me.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to unpack here. So the very first thing that I'm observing is you took imperfect action, even though you weren't marketing people or automation people. You went right in and said, you know what, we'll work for free and we'll figure it on the way, right? That's the first thing that happened. The second thing is, you know, is knowing when to get help, even though you don't know what help means. You don't know what they're doing. If they come into the business as employee or team member or contractor, you still had the courage to bring them in and serve almost 200 plus clients, right? So that is a big deal that the average person cannot do. Obviously, you have some coaching and some consulting and things like that with great people around you, like Alex. Alex is a great guy. But in the grand scheme of things, right? If we were to, let's say, take this business to 1,000 clients, right? You won't be able to function in the trenches of where you are. So now it's you figuring out how to duplicate yourself, right? How do I duplicate the CEO? How do I duplicate the COO? Because you want to get to a world where people are just reporting to you on numbers, on a spreadsheet of what's happening. You don't want to be doing with, you know, the trenches. So in that jump, it takes quite a bit. A couple of more questions that I have for you before we close out the podcast. How did you get to the 200 range from 60? Was that still word of mouth? Was that still the same product? Did you have certain offers? Did you have affiliate partnerships? Did you run paid ads? Like, how did you just, you know, just randomly get to 200 clients?
Yeah, no, that's yeah, for sure. The like literally one, like, I wish I had like some, here's the webinar that I ran with the exact offer and like here's the ad and the strategy. Like, honestly, this is the worst, like this is the, like, what we're worst at. Like, we are not
marketing people.
Well, we haven't, like, marketing comes in, like, I have studied copywriting ever, like, when we were trying to grow our dance studio, like, I dove into marketing a lot, and I like it a lot, but it's, so it's mostly been like our niche, we help dance studio owners. They hang out on Facebook all day long and they're inside various groups. And so, like, as soon as somebody gets amazing results, they're like, oh my God, like, this company helped me get amazing results. And like, when somebody makes a post, I can tell, cause like my calendar just go, like, it goes boom, like 5 calls. And so, like, this is where I'm like, I don't feel like the average person can take much away from this because of that, because it's like, I wish I had better like advice. Just to answer your question, like, it's literally been one call at a time, and like, it hasn't been.
Yeah. Well, I think the average person has to take a lot from that, right? Which is, you stayed close to the industry that you came from. Right. Yeah. That's one thing. The other is you understand the individual of that industry very well. Right. Like, you know where they hang out. You didn't just randomly find any Facebook group or communities or masterminds. They were just natural to both of you of like, oh, yeah, we know where the top players hang out and we know who to partner up with. Right. So that familiarity of your environment does give you essentially like a launch pad where, sure, someone who doesn't know about the industry at all coming into this world of dance studios, like, they're going to be probably lost, right? So sure. I think that's a big thing that I think you ought to give yourself credit for. What was the second thing that you would say helped you get to like 200 plus clients?
I think the biggest thing that helped us, that I can attribute to, is literally the focus on the client experience. So, like, one of the things that I immediately saw that I don't hear much talk about this, but like, it kind of, I saw this as a whole. So, like, a lot of people are like, okay, do a bunch of sales. For me, it was always like, okay, we are in a recurring business model, and we are in the business model of like, the clients, like, we need to get them to stick with us. And so, like, when we deconstructed that, part of that was like, okay, number one, we serve a very, I mean, our niche, they're not very tech savvy people. Like the average, these are studio owners who are more artistic. I don't want to generalize, but they're not by and large, it's not like they love the tech. And so like, one of those things that we thought is like, okay, we definitely need to invest time into training them. So part of our onboarding that we focus on is we make sure that when they come in as a client, we sit down with them and we literally role play with them on the call, like where they get to use the system and we teach them how to use. So like them using the system is super important to us so that they can stick, right? So like if they don't know how to use the software, they're not going to stick. So that's something, that's a big takeaway for me at least, like, yeah, like making sure that if you're going to bring in clients, it isn't like you put a chat widget and you never talk to them again. Like making sure that they understand how to use the software is super important. And
yeah, let's pause for a second, because that right, what you just described is not common, right? The average SaaS agency inside High Level today, and I love all of you that are watching, please don't be offended. Most of them throw a bunch of onboarding videos at them, jump on a 30-minute Zoom call and just say, here's how you log in, here's everything, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, cool. You're all set. Bye. It's like you're not really teaching them how to use the platform. You're just telling them about how to use the platform.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're doing like role playing. You're just deeply integrating in how they would do sales activities or marketing activities or automation activities. And I think that's the difference in the customer experience that you're talking about and describing that the average SaaS agencies inside High Level don't provide. Maybe that has a little bit to do with how you got to 200 plus clients.
For sure. Yeah. So the things that I would attribute to our success that I would say, here are the takeaways. Number one, definitely like ensuring your client knows how to use this software and like literally think about that. Like for example, for us, like I spent a whole year like developing our onboarding process. So as soon as they come in, like we have every single step mapped out for the first like month, because we want to make sure that the client, and we're still working on it, we want to make sure that the client really understands how to use the software and how to maximize it. And then even then, like right now we're taking the approach in our business where every single month, so we're hiring people, client success managers, to every single month check in with the clients, make sure that they're following up correctly with their leads, make sure that they're using the software, make sure they're maximizing. So we also created a bunch of it, so we have a ton of training, but we almost have to kind of force feed them to the clients. And so we have people that are there to do that inside our company. So like, we really want to make sure that we're providing the best client experience and they're maximizing the use of our software, because otherwise it's just not going to stick. And so like, because we're in this recurring, but so like what we, one of our things, obvious, and it's obviously cheesy because it's like the Amazon one, but like client obsessed, like is one of our core values, and like trying to figure out ways to make their lives easier and to figure out. So we're consistently trying to figure out what the problems that our clients are that they have, and like trying to, instead of them having to think about how to use High Level on their own, we are thinking for them, digesting it, and then making it super easy for them. From a tactical perspective, what that looks like is like, we have, like I said, like we have a role play inside our onboarding where we teach people how to use the system. And it's literally a 90-minute call walking them through everything. And then we have another check-in call once we've launched, again, to reiterate and just answer any questions now that they've gotten a chance to use the system. We have tons of video trainings. And then we have a monthly check-in call with our clients, with our client success managers, where they get to ensure that the clients are actually using the system correctly. The client success managers will go read through their conversations to ensure that now with AI, that's going to be a game changer too. But like, yeah, I mean, that and ensuring like the processes. So like, I know what you were saying there in terms of like, because I've spoken to a bunch of SaaS owners and I'm like, how do you onboard people? And they're like, oh, well, we just like, here's an email sequence. And like, and then we put them with like, you know, they use like this,
what I call the hope for the best email sequence, right? It's like throwing stuff at the clients and getting out of the way because they got more clients to onboard, right? But I think that comes from the marketing agency world, right? It's not a software world. And in the high level family, like we're converting marketing agencies at large into SaaS, right? So they have these really, I don't know, how do I say this? They have a lot of bad habits from the marketing world, right? Which is, it kind of doesn't matter if you do a good job onboarding the client, you kind of know they're going to cancel on you in the next 4 or 5 months, regardless of what happens. So your focus is getting more sales, not keeping clients, right? Because you know they're going to turn out.
You think that's what it is? I don't know. I feel like it's like kind of like a, and again, this is going to sound like a little bit like I'm on a high horse or something, but the people that I've spoken to, I've seen that they're kind of short-sighted. Like they're just thinking, if I sell them, like somehow magically they're going to stay because it's SaaS or something like that. But in my mind, I'm like, we need to ensure that they're getting value from this. Like we need to make sure that they're not. And so like all of our focus has been into putting, like, we want to ensure that as soon as a client comes in, we immediately can like onboard them. And then like they get like, for example, I've seen people where they will give them, here the video for how to set up your Meta Business Manager or whatever it is. And I'm like, my clients will never like go there. You know what I mean? And so like, it's like almost like taking responsibility for things that are, that if you want to be successful, like, I'd rather not leave it to chance. I'm going to do a call with them and make sure that we set it up correctly for them. Yeah. So things like that is what I feel like I don't see enough of.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. People in this agency world, they have different perspectives of how a customer experience should be. So you coming from the world of being a small business owner, you have a certain level of expectations of how you like to be treated as essentially like an end user. So then you can implement that in a pretty cool way. Before we end this podcast session, I want to kind of also understand a couple of things from you. The team itself, like how do you get the team to do what the vision is when it comes to creating that customer experience, the customer success journey, onboarding, handling tickets? Like how do you get the team to do what you want them to do?
Sure. So I can't stress enough. Alex Sharpen essentially taught us the system. You know, in between,
what does that system look like? What does that even mean? Yeah.
It's a ton of annual, quarterly planning, monthly planning, going through the goals, making sure we're aligned, defining the goals very clearly, handing it out to the team.
Kind of like your week to week?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to explain kind of like how, you know, kind of a broad structure of what your week looks like? Because I think that'll be real helpful.
So we have, at the beginning of each week, we have weekly check-ins to make sure that we give our team all the tasks that are part of the goals. And we hand those out for the week. We have daily huddles where we check in with our team to make sure that, you know, they're supported, where they can raise any type of critical issues that they're struggling with so that we don't get stuck in terms of execution. We have one-on-one check-ins with them weekly as well for half an hour, quick half an hour, just to provide individual support for them. And again, address any issues that they may be running into and just make sure that they're okay, that they're feeling good, about their responsibilities and their tasks, and that they're not struggling. And essentially that's what the entire week looks like. It's quite a few meetings, especially for me, because I'm running all of them as of right now. But I found that it's been so helpful to have the entire team align and create transparency and accountability within the team. So that's what's been truly working for us.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like even at our level, like we have something called noise control in a sense internally. So like, let's say, for example, I do, or Chase, like one of us do like a 5-day challenge or a monthly workshop. And let's say we turn around and offered, I don't know, a 30-day trial or something, which sometimes we do. If we do something like that, the amount of tickets that go to each side of the business, you can see like all of a sudden there'll be 100 phone calls that's happening in customer success, then 1,000 tickets inside support, then another 800 tickets with our account management team. And then, you know, maybe some purchases that happen, then the number of trials go up, and then our personal calendars get full, and then Instagram messages, Facebook messages. So like what we learned is gating the right noise and what matters the most. So like sometimes, so, you know, paying attention to the client onboarding is what matters more than everything else. And sometimes the education you provide after is what matters more. And then sometimes the most important component is the follow-up of how you're maintaining those relationships. So, but it's really cool seeing that that's still evident in y'all's case and how you're kind of putting together the team and everything. But we appreciate you jumping in on a quick podcast here and sharing your journey. And we don't often hear about small business owners that don't come from the marketing agency world or the software industry taking their dance studio and turning it into a software company. And that's quite the journey, you know, and we're excited for you. And I know you're going to be award winners here on stage in the next few days, actually about a week and almost a week left. I got to start packing. But either way, we appreciate both y'all sharing the story. And if anybody wants to reach out to you, say hello and ask you questions, are there any Instagram handles or Facebook handles that they can find your information on?
Do you have anyone? I don't even have Instagram.
I have Instagram, my personal account. Literally, we're not really big on social media as of right now.
You should,
but I'm happy to provide my Instagram account.
Yeah.
Well, what is your company name at least? Maybe they can take a look at it and just
getmorestudents.com.
Okay, so getmorestudents.com. And what exactly is the software company? Like, it's what do you guys exactly provide for the space?
Yeah. At getmorestudents.com, you'll see like it's lead generation through advertising and then SaaS through Go High Level through you guys. So we provide our own white level version of it. And then on top of that, like now we're working on things like integrating our software with AI and then integrating with to the client's software. This is a project that we're going to be working on next year. And so, yeah, I mean, just that's what we focus on. We focus on helping our clients get students through marketing and automation.
Got it. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you jumping in on the podcast. Again, we'll see you again here at the conference pretty soon, but I appreciate both of you. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thank you.